Good morning.
Morning.
Glad to see you're all awake and ready to go today. Mission. What images come into your mind when you hear that word? Mission. I have to admit, I have two very distinct impressions or images when I hear that word. And I think they have to do a lot with my generation. One of them has to do with a television show. I always used to start off with a super spy wandering in a warehouse somewhere. He'd find a little tape recorder and plug it in, and it would start off, okay, going down. Your mission, Jim, is to smuggle into General Noriega's capital and steal the secret mission or secret tape or whatever it was. And then it always ended up with this thing. If you or your IM team will be captured and detained, the president will disavow any knowledge of your mission. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. And the show started. Whenever I think of mission, I think of that TV show. Another image I have when I think of mission also centers around the TV. I remember sitting in my family room, looking at that TV set, and seeing Walter Cronkite sitting there with the rocket in the background, the steam pouring out from it, and you see that countdown. 3, 2, 1, liftoff. And that rocket goes up. And then after Walter Cronkite tells you a little about it, you follow it up so it disappears. Then they always transferred over to Houston and Mission Control. So those are two images that I have very strong whenever I think of mission. For that reason, I call mission a 30-something word. A 30-something word. I think it is a key word for many in my generation because we think of many things in terms of mission. The biggest one probably being the mission. The space mission, we were going to put a man on the moon. That was our mission. So missions are important. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Every organization has a mission. Maybe I should put it this way. Every successful organization has a mission. And it knows what that mission is. I work for Arthur Andersen & Company, a large CPA firm. It's so large, we're worldwide, and we have over 2,200 partners. In this firm. This past week was the annual partners meeting. I'm not a partner, so I wasn't there. But I listened to my electronic mailbox yesterday, and the managing partner for the Chicago office where I work came on. Basically, it was just to give a little pep talk about the partners met together, we have a renewed vision, we're going forward. But he said, we have a renewed vision for our mission of making Arthur Andersen & Company the premier professional service organization in the world. That's the one thing he wanted to get across. Once again, coming out of that meeting was the mission that we had. Arthur Andersen was going to be the premier professional service organization in the world. We have a mission. As I said, every successful organization must have a mission. The church, let's at least start out with this assumption, is a successful organization. Therefore, the church must have a mission. I ask this question, what is the mission of the church? What is the mission of the church? For purposes of our discussion today, I'd like to start off with this definition of the mission of the church. The mission of the church is what Christ sends his church into the world to do. What Christ sends his church into the world to do. The mission of the church. I've entitled our lesson for today, Mastering the Mission for the Master. Mastering the mission for the master. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior and our Lord. We thank you that through his work on Calvary, we have been made a part of an organization, the Church of Jesus Christ. We ask your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds today as we focus on what the mission of the church is, and in particular, how Bethany Chapel, a part of this church, can fulfill that mission. Be with us now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Amen. So, what is this mission? What is it that Christ sends us out to do? What is the mission of the church? Can you see that? I'd like to say, well, let's look at it from two points. First of all, we are Christ's church. Therefore, if we might have an idea of what Christ's mission is, it might give us a clue as to what his church's mission is. What was Christ's mission? Let's look at a couple of passages. Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus speaking here, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. His mission, to seek and to save. Turning to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Once again, Jesus speaking, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, that is Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I think these three verses summarize the mission that Christ had. He came into the world to seek and to save and to make us the very righteousness of God. Christ came to seek, to save, and to make us the very righteousness of God. Obviously, if that was Christ's mission, and that is going on today, we as Christ's church should also be doing a portion of that. Expanding this, is there any scripture that we can look at that tells us what the church's mission is? Two more passages. Very familiar. We won't look at them, but basically, it's the Great Commission. Let's take off the co and the great mission of the church. We are to go out and make disciples of all men. Make disciples. At this point, I like to make sure we understand what it means to make disciples. A disciple is not someone who has made a decision. I'm not against decisions. We've got to have decisions before we can have disciples. But the mission of the church is much broader than just decisions. The mission of the church is making disciples. So, brief recap. What is the mission? What has Christ sent his church in the world to do? He has sent his church into the world to make disciples. Make disciples. The next question then becomes, how do we do it? Okay, we now know what our mission is. We're supposed to make disciples. How do we do it? Those are always a tough question. sometimes you think why you know it will be accomplished, you can kind of work backwards. So I'm going to rephrase this question, putting it in a positive stance. Why will the church succeed? Why will the church succeed in its mission of making disciples? I'd like to suggest two reasons why the church will succeed. Reason number one is a supernatural reason. A supernatural reason. My terminology. I don't like to use spiritual and material or something like that. I just like to use natural and supernatural. I think we give supernatural a slightly different bent. When we think of supernatural, we think of something big and powerful and awesome beyond us. I think that captures really what the spiritual world is much better. So I'll call that the supernatural. So number one reason why we'll succeed is based, as I said, Christ said we will. Christ said we will succeed. And he said so, we will. Matthew 16, 18, when Christ is speaking, he himself promised. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So Christ said, I will build my church. And remember what I said when I said, what is a disciple? It's not a decision. I'd also like to say that you cannot have a church without disciples. You cannot build up the church without disciples. Therefore, if Christ said, I will build my church, he has promised that there will be the disciples to make the church up. Another promise that we have comes from the Apostle Paul at the very end of the Gospel of Acts. He's talking with the Jews, he's presenting the gospel to them, and they don't agree. It says in chapter 28, verse 29, they went away arguing among themselves. But in that verse it says, and we will go to the Gentiles and they will listen. The Gentiles, they will listen to the good news. That's what Paul says. He says, hey, we're going to go there and they will listen. So reason number one, why we won't succeed, is a supernatural reason. Basically, Christ said so. He said, I'm going to build my church. And then Paul, speaking as one of his apostles, we're going to go to the Gentiles and they will listen. For those of you who've taken the Navigator scripture memory, you know the verse in Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Christ will make it good. He said he will build his church. Therefore, the church will be built. With us or without us, he is going to build his church. So that's one reason why we know the mission will succeed. The supernatural. Reason number two is what I call the natural reason. The one that we might be more familiar with. From the standpoint of the social sciences, sociology, psychology, economics, whatever you want to say, this also gives a foundation on why the church will succeed in its mission of making disciples. I like to postulate that all these sciences will say something of this nature. Humanity is engaged in a threefold quest. Humanity is engaged in a threefold quest. It's a quest for transcendence, for significance, and for community. Because of mankind's quest, desire for these three aspects in our lives, transcendence, significance, and community, we will succeed in our mission. What do I mean? What is transcendence? Transcendence is the search for the ultimate reality beyond the material. The search for the ultimate reality beyond material. i.e. a spiritual reality. Is there this hunger out in the world today? Are people looking for something beyond the material world? Once again, this is a 30-something type of concept. How many of my generation have burned out on the me generation? Greed, the investment banker, that they've seen over the last 8 years on Wall Street. In fact, I know in the last several months, looking through Time, Newsweek, popular news magazine, you've seen articles on the desire of this me generation to find something beyond themselves. I think a lot of the New Age movement has a part of this. What are they searching for? Mankind is searching for something beyond the material. A lot of the drug problem, a portion of that is they're searching for something beyond the material. They're searching for some type of spiritual reality. I would like to suggest that there is one place where they will find spiritual reality. We as the local church have been told to worship. How is the local church supposed to worship? We are supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. We're told to worship in spirit and in truth. We are also told as individual believers to present our bodies as living sacrifices. Why? Because this is your spiritual sense of worship. So I would like to postulate that yes, mankind is searching for spiritual reality. But he will find spiritual reality in the worship of the church. Spiritual reality will be found in the worship of the local church, because that worship is a spiritual act. So I'd like to postulate that worship is where the spiritual reality of God interfaces with humanity. Worship is where the spiritual reality of God interfaces with humanity. One example of that. I first started coming to Bethany Chapel in 1966. Attended here fairly regularly through 1983, about 18 years. Long time. I was trying to think back in my mind of specific conversion, people being saved because of Bethany Chapel during that 18 years. For those of you who were here during that time, ask yourself that same question. Who got saved at a meeting at Bethany Chapel or through a meeting at Bethany Chapel during those 18 years? One couple I can think of. And you know what meeting they got saved at? Wasn't an evangelistic meeting, wasn't an outreach with a movie and ice cream on a Sunday night. It was a couple that were looking for a non-denominational church. I think one was a Catholic, one was a Methodist, and they wandered in because we weren't. And sitting in our Lord's Supper is when they realized the reality of God. I was right here in this room. So truly, if our worship is reflecting the spiritual reality of God, mankind will see it. That's one reason. A next reason that we will succeed in our mission, the second quest that mankind has, is the quest for significance. We want significance. What do I mean by that? Significance is the striving to find meaning and value in one's life. Striving to find meaning and value. I was reading In Search of Excellence again. Good book. For those of you who don't know, this is not a Christian book. It's a secular book on the best-run companies in America. It came out early in the 1980s. A postulate that I have is, if anything is succeeding consistently, it might not be Christian, but it's probably being run on Christian principles. And so I look at some of these things. One aspect that the authors of this book in trying to find the best-run companies in America found is that they all focused on people. They all focused on people. They said productivity and profits are not numbers, profits are people. And they said this at the very beginning. Looking at this. Discussions of management psychology have long focused on theory X or theory Y, the value of job enrichment, and now quality circles. These don't go far towards explaining the magic of a turned-on workforce. The psychologist Ernest Becker, for example, has staked out a major supposition supporting theoretical position, albeit one ignored by most management analysis. Becker notes, society is a vehicle for earthly heroism. Man transcends death by finding meaning for his life. It is the burning desire for the creature to count. What man really fears is not so much extinction, but extinction with insignificance. Extinction with insignificance. The authors go on to state that how the companies that have truly made it, the excellent ones, they have allowed their employees to find significance through their company. I kind of know that myself. I mean, I am proud that I'm a member of Arthur Andersen. Hey, we are the premier professional organization in the world. Nobody can take that away from me. That gives me some significance. So mankind is looking for significance. Generally, they're not going to find it within themselves. They might find it in an organization. What organization is more committed to the significance of mankind than the church? The church is built on the fact that each one of us individually has value, has worth. Christ gives intrinsic worth to all because he died for us. Truly, if you look at the church, one of the things that we stand for is the sanctity of human life. Human life has value. Human life has meaning. This is a very strong, basic foundation of our Christian doctrine, the sanctity of human life. If truly someone is looking for significance, what can be more significant than the creator of the universe loved you so much to die for you? Third area, community. Mankind is searching for community. What is that? Community I define as the need to relate to one another in love. The need to relate to one another in love. I like to think of this as people are moving away from the hustle and bustle of the urban area. They want to get back to rural America. The simplistic lifestyle where everybody knows anyone and they don't have to put a lock on the door. That's what they're looking for. I don't know if that really ever existed anywhere in America, and I doubt if it does now. In reality, it's probably more myth. However, I think that desire, though, does capture something that all of us want. We do want this sense of community. We want this feeling that we can love and be loved by one another. If people have that, where will they find it? How many times in the New Testament do you come across this phrase somewhere in your Bible? Blank one another. Blank one another. Love one another. Admonish one another. Support one another. Back at Village Church, we're going through a series on relationships. 2 weeks ago, the message is on relationships within the church. Relationships among believers. And our preacher that day went through, he just pulled out his concordance and went through the New Testament, and he came up with a list of almost 50 items where it says blank one another, what we are supposed to be doing within the local church. Truly, if Christian fellowship is what the Bible wants it to be, and a person experiences that Christian fellowship, he's found the community that he is searching for. He's found what he's looking for. The place to find love, acceptance, and brotherhood of man should be, must be, within the local church. This is the challenge to Christian fellowship. Okay, let's summarize. It said mankind is on this quest. And because of that quest, this gives the reasons why the church will succeed in its mission. The quest has three pieces to it. Let me slide this up. Transcendent, trying to find spiritual reality. This is equal to corporate worship. Changing from Stodgy John Stott, where I got this threefold quest, to more the lingo of Fuller's Church Growth in Southern California, they call that celebration. So transcendence equals corporate worship. which equals celebration. Significance, the value of life, is Christian doctrine, which equals congregation, the doctrine we have. Finally, community equals fellowship. Council schools to the cell, the organization where the fellowship can be demonstrated within the church. What does this all put to? I am a CPA, and it does put and cross put all around. I got my double underline. Celebration, congregation, cell, it comes down to mean the local church. Okay. Therefore, Christ has equipped his church, the properly functioning local church, to be successful in making disciples. Christ has equipped his church, the properly functioning local church, through its worship, its doctrine, and its fellowship, to be successful in making disciples. Okay, going back, mastering the mission for the master. We must have a mission. That mission of the church, is to go out and make disciples of all men. That mission must be carried out by the church. We will succeed in it because, as we see, the functions of the church are made especially to meet the question that mankind is asking for. Therefore, if you have a properly functioning local church, you should be accomplishing the mission of the local church. Making the application to Bethany Chapel. Bethany Chapel is a local church. It is part of the Church of Christ, therefore it also has this mission. Bethany Chapel has a mission. How do we achieve it? What do I got, 15 minutes now? 10:30. Go to 10:45. Okay. Our mission. Your mission, should you accept, it? To go out and make disciples. And I would like to say that that is not a Lone Ranger Christianity operation. Yeah, some people might have the gift of evangelism, but the task of drawing in and truly making disciples has to be the task, the mission of the entire church. Okay. So the question I'd like to throw out, kick around now for 50 minutes, is Bethany Chapel is a local church. How you doing?